Oh, hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling the radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. It's Australia broadcast number 2. Mike and myself are down under covering Australia as much as we possibly can, both above water and below. Mike, having a good time?
Absolutely. Just when you think we've done it all or seen it all, there's something else, and they're just constantly rolling out the blue carpet, I would say, the sea ocean blue, and showing us the best that Australia has to offer. So big thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been doing a great job showing us a lot of the sights, especially what to do on your surface interval. Matter of fact, last night, and we'll tell you about this a little bit later on in today's broadcast, we had dinner with lions. I kid you not, it was nutty. We went there. They said there's going to be lions, like the largest pride of lions in the southern hemisphere in this location, and we get to go have dinner with them. We weren't quite sure if we were going to have dinner with them or they were going to have us for dinner, but it ended up working out all right. And here we are coming back from the Great Barrier Reef the next day after doing 3 more dives that were truly spectacular. Now, we're on a dive operation right now called Tusa. Tusa 5 is the name of the boat. Tara is like the cruise director. She's like Julie from the Love Boat, right?
That's right.
Is that right? It's Tusa 5 is the name of the boat, and the company is what, Tara?
Yeah, Tusa 5 is the boat, and yeah, the company's fantastic.
Yeah, and they have a liveaboard vessel. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on the big show, too. But we did a day trip, and literally the day trips here in Australia are like sampling liveaboard diving. I mean, you know, you're on a huge vessel that, you know, I've been on many liveaboards that are much smaller than this. What about you, Tara?
Yeah, I actually worked on Spirit of Freedom for 15 months, and it's a really fantastic vessel to work on. You know, the diving's amazing out at Osprey Reef and everything, and the cod hole, and yeah, it's beautiful.
Well, this is like a little test or taste of liveaboard diving, wouldn't you think? I mean, you get to go out here and do 3 tanks on the reef, go out in the morning, come back in the afternoon. You don't get to stay on the boat, but hey, if you don't want to do that thing, this is the next best, I would say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, this is the other option, definitely. It's still a pretty full-on day, you know, 3 dives in a day, that's really good. On liveaboards, you get up to 5 dives a day as well, doing a night dive, but yeah, 3 dives a day is pretty good for a day boat.
Good deal. Now, you mentioned Osprey Reef, which is on the north side of the Great Barrier Reef, right? Or northern end of the reef structure?
It's actually not part of the Great Barrier Reef. It's a separate reef itself. It's out off sort of like a little isolated island in the middle of the Coral Sea. It's just a little reef, and we dive on the western side of that.
Got it. Okay, well, today we didn't go quite out that far, but we did do, I believe, what, Half Moon Key or something? Half Moon something. Is that right? Do you know what the reef was that we went to today? I think it was, what was it?
Millen.
Okay, I wasn't even close, Tara. That was Lucy, by the way. Lucy is from Australia, too. And by Tara, are you from Australia?
Yeah, I'm actually from Tasmania, the little island right down the bottom of Australia.
So you are a devil. I'm looking at her, and like I can see the little devilish horn sticking up out of her. Do you have a wild side to you, Tara, that you can't really discuss right now on the radio or not?
Yeah, sometimes. Also, plastic surgery is pretty good for my scar as well on the side of my neck.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get to that a little bit later after. We've had some of these, I don't know, they're like 4X beers or something that you guys drink, right?
In Tasmania?
I don't know. What are they drink in Tasmania?
Tasmanian beer, James Bogue. It's really, really good beer. And also Cascade as well.
Okay, well, we're on our way back to the dock and to the pier where they have two for ones, I hear. So we will have to sample all of the above. Now, she is the cruise director. Let's meet some of the other crew, and then we're going to actually talk to some of the passengers. Lucy, you just heard Lucy from Australia. Lucy, what is your position here on the T5?
I'm one of the dive instructors.
Yeah, now, do you get out and do a lot of diving on your own on your off days, or are you constantly teaching people that are coming on the boat that want to learn to dive for the first time?
Yeah, well, you've got to get those fun dives in to maintain that passion for diving so that you see things and get to know the reefs even better, do some exploration of the things you don't see on your normal route, especially when if you're teaching, you're constantly looking at people rather than the things around you. So it's good to keep your hand in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, she gave a nice little briefing this morning for everybody because you got a mixture of snorkelers, beginning divers, discover scuba divers, and actually what you can come and do on the T5 is you come on the boat as a snorkeler and you guys invite them to learn how to scuba dive as a bonus, and you have a few people take you up on that, and next thing you know, you got them certified. It's kind of cool to get their first time experience underwater when they come back from doing that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a taste tester, and everyone always remembers their first time diving. I suppose I still do, even though it was almost 10 years ago. And there's no better place to do it than the Great Barrier Reef. I mean, it's one of the seven natural wonders of the world, so why not give it a go if you fill the requirements? Then may as well.
Yeah, why not? You know, you're here and you're surrounded by, like you said, it's a wildlife heritage site. It's world-class diving for sure. What are you looking at, Mike? You're laughing at me. What, a little bit more than normal. What's that? Debbie is? Now, Debbie was one of the dive guides on our last trip here. Debbie, you are from where?
I'm from the Philippines.
From the Philippines, and you were telling us you've been here working on the boat for about 11 months or with the company, and you were our dive guide on the last dive that we did on our third dive. Mike and I decided to hang with one of the groups, and you were really good at like identifying the critters, leading the crew, and pointing out some neat things for me to shoot some video of it. But it seems like just watching you that you enjoy it just as much as sharing that with everybody else. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely, especially in the third dive. That was my favorite sight out here in the Great Barrier Reef, so I was pretty psyched to show everybody what I love.
Yeah, now we mentioned the site. Lucy, what was it again?
The reef was Millen Reef. Our first site was called Three Sisters, and the second one was Oasis.
Oasis. So Oasis is your favorite site. What we saw today, was that typical, or is there a particular critter that you're always looking out for, or why?
Most of the ones that we saw today, they're normally out there in that area. Like the sweet lips are normally hanging around top of palmies and that. But
the sweet lips, that's not some girl that we picked up on the corner there. Now, what is that exactly?
These are Mick Jagger fishes. They've got those.
I remember that fish. So that's the Mick Jagger fish here in Australia. Okay, so, all right, I like that.
That is.
That's your version of that fish. That was a cool fish and a very cooperative photo subject to boot as well. So you love the what?
They love the camera.
They love the camera, and that's always good if you want to take some shots underwater for sure. So what about this compared to the Philippines? Great Barrier Reef, you have some world-class diving in your stomping grounds, don't you?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. It's just that in the Philippines, there's thousands of islands that you can go to, so you don't have to travel that far to go for a dive. You can do a beach dive quite easily.
Yeah, but if you're cruising in a vessel like this, it really doesn't make much difference, don't you think?
Yeah, no, not much. But with the islands there, it protects the reef more, so you don't have to worry about too much wind or anything like that.
Right, yeah, we have been blessed with incredible conditions here while we're in Australia, and I don't know if that's really rare, but we definitely hit it at a great time for sure. Well, thank you for being our dive guide. I appreciate that, Debbie. Now let's bring on Dana, how you doing, Dana?
I'm very well. How you doing?
It's a very worldly crew. You know, we've just covered a couple continents. We're about we're going back home or close to home. You're from Canada, right?
Yeah, I'm from Canada. Not quite home, but very close.
Yeah. Now, how did that happen? How did you go from Canada and all of a sudden end up on working a day boat in Australia?
Well, I got my dive master in Thailand a few years ago, and I've always wanted to do diving. So as soon as I finished uni, kind of a dream of mine to be a dive master on the Great Barrier Reef. So I'm doing it.
Yeah. Now, by the way, if you haven't figured out it all already, yeah, we are talking to all the female crew members, and that's just how it works here at Scuba Radio. You hear enough of me, and yes, I am a guy, despite what some people have said in the past. So we are gravitating to the female crew here of the T5, not only because they're female, which is probably 90% of it, but they all have different duties that they do here for the dive operation and skills and backgrounds. Obviously, you hear Dana is from Canada, but what you didn't know is that she moonlights as a bartender. So we can get some information from her because she doesn't mix the two, but we can find out what is like the local favorite, which is, you know, we have to get the local color when we go to different places around the world to dive, don't you think, Dana?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The local color around Cairns is two-for-ones are especially popular in Cairns. Yep, the bar I'm working at, there's two-for-ones tonight. Should be fun.
All right, and so what should you drink if you come to Australia as a diver? Your diving is done. You don't have to get up early the next morning and dive, and you pretty much have an open night to blow it out with your fellow diving friends.
Oh, dear. Okay, well, usually after we get off the boat, we're pretty thirsty. We've been on the reef all day. We like to debrief with a beer, just hang out. After that, if everyone has the day off, which isn't very likely because we all work together, we all hang out together, you move on to your spirits, and that can usually get messy, but you don't mix drinking and diving.
Not driving or diving. And, yeah, it's all good, though. And, you know, we have found, and I'm sure this is the same in Australia, that divers have a tendency to drink like fish even though they're not supposed to. Have you found that to be the case?
Yes.
Yeah. When they're done diving, yeah, they can have a tendency to blow off a little steam. You know, God bless them for it. It's basically what our show is built on here, Dana. It's the after hours fun at the tiki bar, hanging out and sharing your fish tails. You hear what I'm saying? Now, so what is it? Is it the beer that we discovered last week on the show? This 4X something or other, or what?
No, beer, most popular beer here amongst crew members anyway, is Pure Blonde, I would say.
Pure Blonde. And what makes it unique as a beer? Is it for blondes? No.
No. Well, I'm a Strongbow girl, so...
Or if you drink enough of them, you will get the same stereotype as blondes do.
That's possibly it. I don't know. I'm not a Pure Blonde drinker, so you'd have to ask one of these girls.
with Lucy, is that the case or what?
No, it's a nice light beer, so it goes down very smoothly after a long day at work.
Yeah, so Dana, so you don't do the Pure Blonde, so what's your favorite brewski?
I'm a Strongbow girl. Strongbow on tap, they have it all over Cairns, and it's amazing.
Strongbow is a cider, correct? Okay, and then as far as, there's no, like, froofy drinks they do here in Australia, like, you know, in you go to the Bahamas, there's a Goombay Smash, there's, you know, Rum Runners and things like that. Is there any particular kind of cocktail or concoction that you're whipping up there at the bar after hours for the divers?
Well, we do cocktails, but cocktails are a bit classy. Aussies love their beer.
All right, so they just like to get there, sit down with their beer, and just hang out and get blonde.
Well, not necessarily even blind, just hang out, have a few drinks. Oh, blonde.
Blonde, blind, same difference. You know, hey, you know, it's a universal language, the beer here, the alcohol is. You hear what I'm saying? You do, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, you know, you're supposed to say, Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi.
I don't know what it means. I heard AC/DC doing it in a song once, but they've been doing it all over. All right, hey, we're going to talk to some of the passengers next here on the T5, our fellow dive buddies, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
As entertainment director of this cruise, I've made reservations for you to join me at the bottom of the sea. For the annual codfish ball.
Come along and follow me to the bottom of the sea. We'll join in the jamboree at the codfish ball.
Yeah, you know, they have a lot of codfish here in Australia. We've been diving with them here on the Great Barrier Reef. We're out on the T5 day boat today, diving with some folks from all over the world. You just heard a lot of the crew members here of the T5. It's now time to move on to the passengers, our dive buddies, so to speak. Now, we have a couple from Amsterdam. Is that right?
No, we're not from Amsterdam.
You're not from where? Well, you're from Holland. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You're near Amsterdam, and, you know, it's all Greek to us. I don't know. But it's in the same general vicinity, right?
That's true.
Yeah, but they don't wear wooden shoes, despite popular belief in America. But evidently, some of them still do, you were telling me, right?
Yeah, in the eastern part where we live, people wear clogs, yeah.
Yeah, but you guys aren't into that? You're above that kind of thing, or what?
No, they're not really comfy.
I would see that being an issue, for sure. It wouldn't be fun on the feet by any stretch of the imagination. Now, what's your name?
Wendy.
Wendy and?
Karen.
Karen. Wendy and Karen. And so you guys are from Holland, and you literally have come here backpacking, which is a very popular way to travel in America. A lot of times it's considered hostels, right? But you guys call them backpacker hotel type things?
Yep, that's true.
And you guys, how long have you been traveling now?
Nearly 8 weeks.
8 weeks. So 2 months you've been on vacation, or a holiday, as they say, right?
Yep.
So how do you like it? You were snorkeling today?
Yeah, it was amazing. Loving it.
Yeah, and you guys are literally traveling all across Australia and like taking in the sights and that kind of thing. Is that true?
Yeah, started in Sydney and made our way up to Cairns. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're just sampling it all. What about the snorkeling? What did you think of the Great Barrier Reef this morning?
Oh, it's amazing. You could see everything. You could see the bottom. You could look like 30 meters down. It's amazing.
It's good stuff, isn't it? What about you going to get certified to dive there sometime, you think?
I hope so. If I get the money, I'll do it, definitely.
Yeah. Do you always have, will you have to travel, you think? Is there much snorkeling or diving to be had there in Holland?
Snorkeling, diving in Holland wouldn't really do that. I would definitely go somewhere else to do that.
Yeah, the fins are made out of wood. Is that a problem, maybe? I don't know.
No.
That's not it. It's just the dive sites aren't as pristine and beautiful as they have here in Australia, I'm guessing, right?
That's true. It's not not visible, not clearly water, so yeah. You won't see much.
Now, do you like traveling the backpacker style? Now, we were talking to some of the resorts last week that offer those type of accommodations. So they're actually pretty nice, but you have to share them with strangers. Do you like that kind of arrangement or what?
Yeah, you get to meet a lot of people, but we also sleep in our car whenever we get the chance. So you sleep near the beach, you wake up, you have breakfast on the beach. It's, for us, it's great, and you get to meet a lot of people.
So sleeping in your car, traveling across Australia, was this something you guys had planned for some time, or did you just say, hey, what the heck, let's go? You don't need money in Australia.
No, we planned it 2.5 years ago, so we really needed to save up on our money to do this.
And is your car, is it getting comfy or a little, is it getting a little stale, if you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's a station wagon, so we got enough room.
Yeah. So you got plenty of room, and you just crash out in the car when you need, and other times you're hitting the hostel, right?
All right. Just whenever we feel like it, go to a hostel.
Yeah. Now, was this the first time you guys went snorkeling, or have you been doing some more of that around the country?
I've been snorkeling in Turkey, but it wasn't as pretty as over here.
But you haven't done any other snorkeling other than what we did today here in Australia, in Cairns?
No, we didn't.
Yeah. So what do you think? You're going to do some more before you head back home?
I will definitely, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, good stuff. You guys were great. You ought to get certified. I'm telling you, it's worth it.
Okay.
You would enjoy it, for sure. But obviously, the snorkeling was quite spectacular on the Great Barrier Reef this morning as well. Now, Mike, who do you got here? Well, you got another person next to you.
I'm going to have her introduce herself. The names get a little fuzzy. I didn't want to mess that up.
Yeah, she's from Holland, too. Is that right? She's from Holland?
Maluth.
Maluth? What is that, your name? Maluth?
Maluth, yes.
Maluth?
Maluth.
Maluth?
Maluth.
Maluth. Have you ever heard such a name like that?
Yeah, it's very common in Holland.
Well, of course it is. It's like Karen.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Is it? Does it mean anything, Maluth?
Mm.
I didn't say it right, did I?
Yeah, almost, but it means something, but I don't know.
My beautiful Holland wood-wearing shoe girl. I don't know, but she's a great... You were snorkeling or diving this morning?
Diving.
Diving. Okay, we're going to talk to her next as we get her experience of the Great Barrier Reef. Coming up from Down Under. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
We started producing Scuba Radio in 1997, the same year that Designated Diver Sportswear made its debut at the DEMA show in Anaheim, California. Designated Diver Sportswear has pretty much been our supplier for Scuba Radio tees ever since. It was their commitment to quality and stylish diver designs that caught our attention then and continues to this day. Designated Diver's unique combination of silkscreen printing and embroidery have become the gold standard for those who want to express their divers and are proud of it. So popular, in fact, that many divers around the world now collect them. Of course, over the years, Designated Diver has evolved into more than just diver tees. They were recently acquired by Designated Sports Incorporated, featuring additional lines like Yak Heads for kayaking and paddle enthusiasts, and It's What I Do, the lifestyle line of fun tees that let you express your passion for the sport or activity that you do and enjoy. Go to designatedsports.com to see all the latest styles and put them to work for you and your organization today. No projects too big or too small. That's designatedsports.com. Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master in Australia. We're cruising back to the dock here after a three-tank dive on the T5 day cruiser here out of Cairns, Australia. By the way, it's Cairns, I say. Once again, they pronounce it Cairns, but it's spelled Karen. So you can look it up online and find them online and book your travel accordingly. Now, I'm sitting here with Malus, right?
Yeah.
And she is from Holland as well. They didn't know each other. Karen and the other girl, Wendy, they were, I thought they were all together, but you're not. You guys just met today on the boat, right?
Yes, we did.
It just happened to be from Holland, which is like 22 hours away via plane, correct?
Correct.
How weird is that? Did you feel like they may be stalkers or something, or trying to track you down or something, or what?
No, we just were talking English to each other, and after like 10 minutes, we asked like, where are you from? And it was like, oh, Holland. Oh, we can start that.
Like, I've been there.
Yeah.
So, Malus, very nice lady. Now, you were diving today, and you're a certified diver, I'm guessing, or was this new for you?
No, I have my open water.
Open water dive. You've been diving for a few years, or what?
No, I just did the open water in Holland.
Oh, did you? You got certified, and then you cruised over to Australia and decided to just travel around. And not just travel. You know, the thing that's really strange here for us in America, Malus, because you were telling me at the break that, yeah, you're on holiday, taking a little break from working in Holland, but it's not like a two-week vacation you're on, are you? How long have you been here so far?
I've been here for 7 weeks now.
Several weeks, and you're going back when?
In April.
April, and let's see, let me think now. This is November. So you're basically taking like a six-month vacation. That is sweet!
It's great.
Yeah, so, but you just have the flexibility to do that. Or that, isn't that more of like a Holland thing, just like Wendy and Karen were talking, they're going for a month or two. That's just what you guys do, right? It's not that out of the ordinary, or is it?
No, you know, quite a lot of people do it, but a lot of people do it after they finish school, like when they're 18 or something.
Yeah, but you decided, hey, I'll put it off, but then I'm going to do it, I'm going to blow it out big time and take 6 months off, right?
Yeah, great.
Oh, that is sweet. Well, it's good to meet you. We'll have to have a drink later at the pier bar, they say. It's 2-for-1.
Oh, that's good.
All right, more coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Now, we'll need oxygen.
I got it covered. In the event of an emergency, my ass can be used as a flotation device.
Oh, that reminds me. You've all taken your pressure pills, right?
Yes. Stop asking.
On your mark, ready, set, let's go to the sea below. I know, you know, we go psycho for the show. That's a hit. Just can't sit. It's time to go diving with it. That's it. Call your buddy, let's dive. We're about to go live. This ain't no jive. And you know it's always better down where it's wetter. So go with the flow. It's time for the show. Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio. We're going diving with it. Scuba Radio. We're going diving with it. Scuba Radio. We're going diving with it. Scuba Radio.
All right, we have fast-forwarded in time. Greg the Dive Master in Australia, and up, up, and away in my beautiful balloon. Wouldn't you say, Mike?
Yeah, I would say that. I wouldn't sing it.
Yeah, you know, it's been 24 hours, and we're safe to fly, and that's what we're doing. We are, as you hear, that is the flame. No, that's the flames keeping us up in the air, so we don't want to make the pilot stop. Steve is the pilot here. How you doing?
Yeah, good morning. Lovely day today.
Yeah, Raging Thunder is the balloon operation they have here in Australia, and they set us up with a nice little ride over the Valley of Mariba, or the Tablelands, I don't know, what is this, like west of Cairns?
Yeah, we're about 30, 40 kilometres inland from Cairns on the Atherton Tablelands, which is a big plateau that runs north-south along the coastline, large farming area.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. This is an amazing thing to do on your surface interval.
Of course. I'm not going to make him stop, because if he does,
we fall to our deaths. So I'm not going to make him stop. But that's the thing. You do this on your surface interval, but you got to make sure you wait at least, you know, 12, 24 hours because there is flying after diving issues that us divers have to abide by. What do you think about this, Mike? This is pretty impressive, though, isn't it? I mean, how many times have you went up in a hot air balloon on your surface interval?
This would be a first for me. But and if you had asked me that at, you know, 3:30 when the alarm was going off, I might have had a different answer. But well worth getting up and making the drive. And taking off early in the morning was nice.
Yeah, yeah. You got to get up a little bit early for this thing. But they do, like, breakfast and ballooning. It's how long have they been doing this, Steve?
Raging Thunder's been operating here on the Tablelands for probably about 15, 16 years now. Yeah, we fly all year round and do a balloon flight and then finish with a champagne breakfast at our local breakfast site.
Nice. Now, we're in a basket, obviously, under the hot air balloon with a bunch of other folks from all over, I'm taking. It looks like we have some folks from Japan. Say hi, everyone.
Hi.
Yeah, there you go. Just, yeah, they're mesmerized by the view. It's hard to get their attention. But you're used to that, right, Steve?
Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful view looking down on the farmland. And the beauty from a balloon is that you get 360-degree views, and you're just floating underneath the envelope. So it's a really unreal sensation, but the view and the peacefulness of it is fantastic.
Yeah, it is impressive stuff. And once again, he has to keep doing that, otherwise we fall to our deaths. That's never happened, though, right?
No, I haven't done that. I'm still here flying.
Nice. Okay, we like to hear that. But, you know, it is impressive. I mean, you know, you got kind of like a plain view here, but you don't have the window. It's all open air. It's very peaceful and quiet, other than the flamethrower issue every once in a while, but that's kind of cool in its own right. But, you know, these are the amazing things you can do on your surface interval in between diving the Great Barrier Reef. Check it out. You go to ragingthunder.com.au, and you can do this, too, when you come to Australia.
Do you want to talk diving or tell Greg the Dive Master he's all wet? Then call Scuba Radio now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Are you ready for liveaboard diving at its best? Well, then you're ready for Explorer Ventures. Explore the Bahamas, the Northeast Caribbean, Turks and Caicos, Australia's Great Barrier Reef, even the Galapagos, all while enjoying the comfort, convenience, and effortless diving only an Explorer Ventures award-winning liveaboard can provide. Explorer Ventures has been making divers' dreams come true for 20 years now, and yours could be next. Call 1-800-322-3577 or go to explorerventures.com. That's explorerventures.com.
Hey, there are a lot of places you could pick for your next dive.
The Great Barrier Reef.
Cozumel.
The Red Sea.
Indonesia.
Cayman.
My swimming pool.
But now there's a new place you'll want to think about. A beautiful island that's not hard to get to. Unspoiled. Not expensive. Rustic. Real. A full-service resort. Friendly. Really friendly. Great dive masters. Everything you need. And the diving. Oh, amazing diving. The third largest barrier reef in the world. Caverns, blue holes, walls, big fish, and sharks.
All right, already. What is this place?
Thought you'd never ask. I'm talking about the newest dive site in the Bahamas. Coral Caverns Dive Resort on Andros Island. Coral Caverns Dive Resort. Hey, my time's about up, so just go to coralcavernsresort.com. Find out about where you'll be on your next dive trip. Get off the beaten track and get into some real diving. CoralCavernsResort.com.
Are you wishing for a warmer relationship with your wetsuit? Well, then you need to wear Waterproof. Unlike the mass-produced, super-stretch approach to wetsuit design, Waterproof wetsuits are made using multiple pieces of higher-quality neoprene to sculpt a suit that matches the human form. The result is a wetsuit that fits better, lasts longer, and keeps you warmer. Waterproof has been the leader in wetsuit design overseas for years and now are available in the States. Go to waterproof-gear.com to find the dealer near you. That's waterproof-gear.com.
Scuba Radio, divers consumer tip number 408. Never use a dive knife to cut your buddy on a shark dive just to kick it up a notch.
From this moment on, you will now be known as shark bait.
Indeed, picking a different diver to cut makes much more sense.
Shark bait!
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. Jeff Myers is in the studio. He is the COO and Vice President of Training for Divers Alert Network. What do we need to know today, Jeff?
Just the essentials, Greg.
Any particular essentials?
Safety essentials.
You mean like equipment, plans, that sort of thing?
Exactly. There are a few safety essentials that should be part of every dive, and so I thought we'd run through them just to refresh everyone's memory.
Sounds essential to me. Shoot.
What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of safety equipment on a dive site?
Oxygen and first aid kit.
Lovely. Every dive site should have an emergency oxygen and first aid kit at diver's disposal. If necessary, you should be prepared to provide them yourselves.
I've got mine. I wouldn't go diving without them.
You're a good man, Greg. What other safety equipment should a diver have?
Let's see. How about an emergency assistance plan?
Good one. Every diver on a given site should know the plan in place in case of an emergency. What else?
Seriously, Jeff, I didn't know this tip was going to be a pop quiz.
Come on, you're doing great.
Okay. Other safety essentials. How about a way to call for help?
Excellent. Whether it's a cell phone, satellite phone, public phone, or a radio, you need to make sure you have a working communication method should you need to make a call. What about safety equipment as part of a diver's gear?
I always carry a safety sausage with me.
That's a great safety item to have. Not only are they a terrific way to be spotted in the water, but they can also function as marker buoys and, in some cases, as secondary lift bags.
So sausages are a safety with a bonus.
God, I love the multifunction gear.
What else should every diver have?
I recommend having some sort of cutting tool as a gear standard. Whether it's a knife or cutting shears, you'll want to have something on hand in the event you find yourself entangled.
Dive knives can be used to measure things if you need to.
Another example of safety with bonuses.
What about other signals?
You mean besides a safety sausage?
Mm-hmm.
I think every diver should have a whistle, either on their BCD or in its pocket.
What else do you consider essential?
Every diver should have a compass. Good navigation is a key to a safe return, so it should be considered part of a diver's safety gear.
Consider it done. Have we forgot anything?
How about water?
Well, yes. Staying hydrated is a key to diving health. So, yes, water should be considered a safety essential.
Anything else?
I'd have to put properly maintained gear on the essential list. I mean, we can list specific gear, but the bottom line is that we're dependent on all of it. So we should make sure it's in good working condition.
That's a great point. And if we're thinking a bit outside the box on essentials, let me throw one more out there. Communication.
I hear you. Good communication not only lets you know what to do in the event of an emergency, but making it part of the pre-dive plan can help you avoid a lot of the problems in the first place.
Can't get much safer than that.
When you get right down to it, safety essentials are all about being self-sufficient and having the basic means to assist others.
You know, for someone who didn't want a pop quiz, you got an A+.
I rock. You know, the gear available to divers can keep you trying new toys forever. But some of that gear is essential to dive safety. So no matter what else you pack, remember the things that will help keep you safe. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That
was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
Okay, we have come back to Earth here in Australia and decided to talk more about getting down under, since that is so appropriate for this part of the world. Now, Philip is with me right now from Tusa Dive here in Australia. I believe it's tusadive.com.au. Is that right, Philip?
No AU, just .com.
Okay, they just got the .com. They made it easier for us here. Now, we went out on their day trip, the T5, the Tusa 5 day liveaboard. It's not a liveaboard, but it's a day trip, but it feels like a liveaboard adventure because you do three tanks, you get lunch included, it's a massive vessel, it's very much the liveaboard type experience. But you guys actually offer a full service liveaboard vessel here in Australia too, right?
That's correct. We've got Spirit of Freedom, and firstly I'd like to welcome the guys from Scuba Radio down here into Cairns, down under.
So, yeah, well, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. It's been an amazing adventure so far. And matter of fact, we just did a little walkthrough tour of the Spirit of Freedom. That is truly a nice liveaboard vessel, about 120 feet thereabouts.
Yes, 124 feet, actually, yeah.
Yeah, and it's very tricked out in a classic boat sense as well. There's a lot of wood work. I don't know if it's teak or whatever, but it gives you like a classic boating feel as opposed to, you know, some of the other vessels out there are just more, I don't know, they kind of look more like prefab home type things. But this is really a classic, you know, a vessel, isn't it?
Yeah, Spirit's about 14 years old, but very classic, steel hull design, a lot of timber work, a lot of nice carpet and stuff like that. So it's a big monohull, a lot of weight, a lot of seaworthiness, and just gives a nice feel out on the ocean. So with the places that we have to head with it, it is a nice, comfortable vessel to do some miles on out there.
Yeah, well, definitely, we got to come back and do some liveaboard diving with you. I have no doubt, Philip, because the thing is massive. There's tons of space. I think you can do, up to 20, 25 thereabouts, or...
26 guests is max, and 10 crew with the 26 guests.
Yeah, and this is a huge vessel, so you got plenty of space, even if it was all filled up. And the beds, I mean, they got queen-size bed and a couple of the staterooms. I mean, it's quite impressive indeed. And you offer different types of liveaboards. They're not just stuck to just one-week itinerary. So you come here to Cairns, do a little land-based stuff or some day trips, do some of the rainforest, go hot air ballooning or whatever the case may be, have dinner with lions. And then hop on board the liveaboard for a couple nights or three nights or something like that, and or go all the way up to a 7-night deal, right?
That's correct. Spirits are divided into a 3, 4, and 7-day trip. The 7-day is Monday to Monday. We break the 3 and the 4 trip up by using our own charter aircraft to a place called Lizard Island, about 120 miles north of Cairns. We do a change over there on Thursday morning, so the 3-day guests dive their way up and take a low-level flight back. 4-day guests fly up to join us and carry on with the 7-day guests out into the Coral Sea to do Osprey Reef and all the shark diving and pelagics out there in the Coral Sea.
Well, there you go. Now, Osprey Reef, we've heard a lot about that, and Lizard Island. So, you know, that's what some of the divers have mentioned on some of the day trips, which have been spectacular in their own right. But they are definitely say that's like the gold star of the diving here in the area. Is that true?
Yeah, that's correct. Cairns is a fairly busy tourist area. It offers a lot from snorkeling, intro diving, learn to dive, certified diving, but it is a busy local area of 35 miles. There's 4 liveaboards operating currently about 120 miles north on a weekly basis, so you know, you take an average there, they're only seeing 60 to 80 divers a week in these remote areas.
Once again, that is tusadive.com, or you can go to spiritoffreedom.com.au and check out the liveaboard there. We're coming up from Down Under next.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Does the idea of spending a week on a liveaboard dive boat sound appealing, but also make you queasy? Well, then you need to consider a Necton Cruise.
Necton's swath-designed liveaboard dive vessels keep the boat rocking to a minimum. That way you can spend more time enjoying the amenities of these mini cruise ships and the underwater attractions of the Bahamas or Belize, as opposed to feeding the fish. For more information, go to NectonCruise.com on the web or call 1-800-UW-WORLD. That's 1-800-UW-WORLD.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Hello?
Hey, Rach, it's me.
Okay, I just got to Chandler's room, and I caught him molesting himself.
That couldn't have been pretty.
But you know, guys do that.
Yeah?
Well, the weird part is, he was getting off to a shark attack show.
No.
Yes! Chandler watches shark porn.
I always knew there was something weird about that dude. But you promised to love him no matter what. What means, like, if he gets a disease or kills someone. Not if he gets his jollies to Jaws.
Oh.
She gobbled me up and she dribbled me out. Didn't want to meet a man eater.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master in Australia. You know, we're taking the tour right now of some of the dive operators. You just heard from Phil there at Tusa Dive here in Cairns. Now we've moved over to Pro Dive Australia. We have Steve. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing really good, thanks, Greg.
Yeah, now we're on one of their three liveaboard vessels. They do two-night, three-day adventures here out of Cairns as well. And how big is this vessel we're on, and what's it called?
Yeah, this is Scuba Pro, one of three vessels. So we've got Scuba Pro, Scuba Pro 2, and Scuba Pro 3.
Fair enough. Is that affiliated with the equipment manufacturer too, Scuba Pro, or
no, totally different? Whatsoever. No, it's not, no.
All right, so it's like they got Tusa Dive, they got Scuba Pro boats. You know, that's just what they do in Australia, huh?
That's exactly it, and we specialise in liveaboard diving. We don't have day boats ourselves, so everything we do is built around a three-day, two-night. So all our training, or just for fun certified diving, or if you want to go snorkeling, we do it all on the liveaboard boats.
Yeah, and you do it in a big way here in Australia, because we just found out there that Steve and the gang at Pro Dive Australia got a special award from PADI or something. What, you just certified your 100,000th diver?
Yeah, that's right, Greg. It's a pretty big year for Pro Dive. It's 25 years this year, and we've just, on the 1st of November, certified our 100,000th PADI open water. And according to PADI, that's a world first for them. And so, we're taking that claim as the only individual dive operator to achieve that accomplishment.
Yeah, well, it is impressive. They do big numbers. As we have talked about a little bit earlier on the show and last week, the number of divers they run out of Cairns, Port Douglas, and in some other smaller ports here on the east, northeast side of Australia, out to the Great Barrier Reef, the numbers are impressive, and they're 100,000 divers. Congratulations there, Steve. That's good stuff.
Thank you very much. No, it is exciting. I think for us, the biggest thing is, Greg, that so many people have chosen Pro Dive to learn to dive, and I think that's what really means the most to us, because we do a lot with our staff. We make sure that we consistently provide great service all the time, and that's out there, and it's great to hear that from the people, and it's been supported to us, so thanks to them as well.
Got it. Now the website is
www.prodivecairns.com.
There you go. All right, we got an hour of Scuba Radio coming up from Down Under.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.